It's December 17th, 2008, and everyone's fired.
This is Idle Thumbs 10.
Idle Thumbs. Games, video 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 games.
This is Idle Thumbs 10, and I'm Chris Remo from Gamma Sutra.
I'm Nick Brack from Shack News.
And I'm Jake Rodkin from Telltale Games.
Thanks, Jake Rodkin.
I work there.
Sweet.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Well done.
Video games.
Let's stop talking about that and talk about video games.
Okay, fine. Did either of you guys actually watch the Spike TV Awards?
The VGAs?
The VGs. The VGAs.
VGA, VGA.
I watched some parts of it, and then afterwards I watched the exclusive clips on game trailers, but I didn't really watch the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I heard that this year it was judged by the top critics of the games industry, and not just some schmoes like their audience.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, I heard
cool.
that.
Well, yeah.
But, like, someone just told me that. I don't know if it's true.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It still seems stupid to me.
I mean, I didn't mean that as points for
no,
the VGA.
I know,
right, yeah, yeah.
I mean,
the top critics.
If that's true, I mean, it's probably true.
The top
I mean,
critics, as picked by our viewers.
Sweet. No, I don't know. I mean, the whole thing seems so insane. Like, I did see the Brutal Legend part, and like, while it was hilarious to see Jack Black, like, publicly, sort of exalting Tim Schafer. It was still, like, just weird and awkward.
It was really
and, like,
awkward and kind of painful to watch.
Yeah.
And made me embarrassed to be watching it, even though, yeah. like, whatever. I like Tim Schafer.
Yeah.
I like Jack Black. Looking forward to Brutal Legend. I like flamethrowers. In combination, just the whole was
combine,
not quite... It wasn't quite yeah. the sum of its parts. It was
sometimes
kind of actually
you
just...
combine those things, you get fucking dead guys. Sometimes you get a terrible award show.
That's true, I guess.
Yeah. yeah. Well, that's what but they
yeah.
say.
Yeah, so my limited experience with the Spike VGAs was that it was really awkward and made me a little bit sad.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I saw the Mafia 2 trailer and was like, that's
Mafia 2
sweet.
Trailer looked really
yeah.
nice.
Yeah.
That's all in-game, too, or at least in-engine.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I guess it's like a, sort of just...
Yeah.
I don't know what it's...
What it is, but it's,
yeah.
it's using their renderer, their game engine renderer,
yeah.
and their animation department
yeah.
combined.
Well, and it's also just kind of a really kind of on-target 60s. Like what decade is that? Because it's later than the original Mafia, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. 60s, I mean, I'm sure if I was looking at the trailer now, I'd be able to say that more confidently. Maybe 70s. I don't know. But it looked really nice. And they just sort of got the vibe you'd want out of that kind of world. I mean, that there isn't even much stuff like that going on in like a GTA game, just like a scene like that. I hope that there actually is a scene in the game where your character is in church and you're like... sort of classic immigrant Italian mother is boxing your ears to get you to go into confession. Like,
right.
That's pretty great. That's a pretty good thing to include in a video game.
Yeah. I don't know. I was reading the Variety blog and they were critiquing the trailers uh-huh. from the VGAs. And the guy was just like, yeah, my own Mafia 2, you know, it's obvious that it's a Godfather 2, you know, ripoff, but like, why don't they just show what the game's about? Like, you know,
oh,
why?
Oh, man, you meant like Godfather 2, the movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's obviously a ripoff of EA's Godfather 2.
EA's upcoming The Godfather 2.
Yeah.
More
God.
Godfathers.
Did you? I don't. You guys,
Godfather.
You guys probably didn't see the Robert Duvall like interview that they
I saw
put
a still
out,
from it and was
I
ashamed.
Didn't. Oh
and didn't
God, it.
It
was horrible.
What was? What is?
It was just like some impromptu
about?
Interview with
why,
him and like
interviewing
just a game
Robert Duvall
developer.
And why?
Just like an EA
is interviewing.
Just some like random. Producer.
Oh, is he in the Godfather? Too?
Yeah, he's doing voice work.
No.
Well, I thought you meant someone interviewed.
We're inside
like,
Robert Duvall's house.
Let's see.
We've got a contract here for The Godfather 2.
With Folger's crystals. Let's see.
We've replaced his DVD of The Godfather with Godfather the Game. Let's see if he notices.
Yeah, so that's, I guess, not what happened?
No. They were just like,
he was
hey, Robert, like, what do you think of the Don's view? And he was just like, you know, it's great, video games. Just
like, those are always
God,
so
it was
embarrassing.
I, yeah.
I did see the Dennis Hopper interview about
yeah,
Deadly
yeah,
Creatures.
Yeah, that was like the exact same
where
thing.
Where it's just like, I think the kids are going to like this video game.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because you can fight with the bugs and it looks like a movie. And it's like, what? What are you talking about? Like, why do you... Also, the voice was just like, hey there.
Yeah.
Dennis Hopper, ladies and gentlemen. Like, Academy Award nominated.
The Duvall thing was the same thing. It was just like him sort of doing like classic Godfather lines, but being like even more, like a lot more depressed. Like, because he just clearly didn't want to be there. He's just like, give him the money. Like, just like really...
He's world weary, is what you mean to say.
Gotta do that, and it's just really.
What? Who
pathetic.
Does he? But was he in the first one? I didn't play the first one.
I don't know. I don't think he was.
Also, by the way, as far as Mafia 2 goes, ripping off Godfather 2. If you're gonna rip off a movie, which every video game rips off a movie, you could do a fucking lot worse than Godfather 2.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah.
I would love to see a game.
Threw in like the Ring of All Evil just for kicks, though. That's that's the B thread that they haven't actually given away in Mafia 2. So.
I mean, why does he say that? Is there actually flashback stuff going on in Mafia? Because that'd be sweet.
I don't know.
Like, if you were actually going like
probably
the old,
just that it's a period
like, flashing back to the
movie.
Old country.
Yeah,
like, that would be amazing.
I mean, game.
Yeah.
But why Godfather 2 then specifically?
Because it's a little later. Than
I guess
the first
everyone
one?
Knows.
He may have said just the Godfather in general. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
But he was just disappointed like that didn't show like gameplay footage. You know.
Well, that's fair enough. I mean, that's
it's a sequel though. I mean, it's a sequel too.
Yeah, that's true. You kind of know what the gameplay is.
Pretty much
be,
know what you're getting.
Or do you?
Well, probably if you're watching the VGAs, you probably don't actually know what Mafia was.
Well, surprise! It's now a casual games gallery.
It's on the Wii lead platform on the Wii.
iPhone game.
Do you guys see Ngai Kroll suggest that? Developers now use Wii as their lead SKU.
Oh, really?
Worst idea, possibly.
God, damn.
I don't know. That just seems like a terrible idea to me.
Yeah.
Because you'll sell all the games now. Or you'll just piss off everybody. This game was built for the Wii, but it's not really a Wii game. Both sides hate you.
This is totally random, but do you guys see like the Ghostbusters, the Wii version
I've
of Ghostbusters?
Oh.
The Wii version? No,
yeah.
I don't think so.
I just saw some random goofy shot. Like,
is it like the real Ghostbusters
I
now?
Also, I just want to point out, I somehow...
Let's
I
distract
somehow,
this distraction. Well,
real quick, because someone will notice, and I want to... I can't believe I just called them sides. Like, what? I just made explicit reference to, like, the console war.
As, oh,
like,
right.
Both sides. Like, fuck me for saying that. Anyway, go ahead, Nick.
Well, anyway... Yeah,
anyway,
no,
the real Ghostbusters.
Just, yeah, like the actual Ghostbusters, the video game. Like it's not like super realistic, but it you know it sort of looks like
it's not
actual
super
people,
realistic.
But
it's not pretty, a simulation. It's
hyper
not a
real,
ghost fighting.
You know,
oh, you mean graphically?
Graphically speaking, artistically speaking.
Oh, but the
speaking,
gameplay is a simulation. It's a Ghostbusting sim.
Yeah,
they're bringing back the sim genre.
Yeah,
it's like one of those. You've got to like take off the suit and deal with all those little.
It's
knobs
got physics.
And,
well, yeah,
you
better
sliders.
Know how to run an unlicensed nuclear accelerator because this game you have to build your own
just
crazy Ghostbusting shit.
Ghost Tycoon was the working title.
But then they got the Ghostbusters license.
Yeah,
lucky
they got
them.
It from Zootfly.
So anyway, what were you actually going to say about this game?
I was just going to say the Wii version looks really goofy. Like,
<Ba-da-ba>! Nick Brecken, ladies and gentlemen.
It's goofy.
It looks really goofy. And they got like goofy faces. They're like, you know, like it's just fucking
you
crazy.
And your goofy face. Get out of my sight.
That happens. That's a decent sort of trend that happens. I don't mean decent as in good. I mean decent as in happens decently often.
Right.
Of like you've got this game. That looks like a different game, and then on the Wii,
it just made me laugh.
Well, we'll just tune shade it and make everything goofy.
Hey, speaking of goofy, I saw
you're watching a goof troop.
I recently watched Who Framed Roger Rabbit for the first time in like 15 years. That movie's awesome.
Yeah, it's fucking.
I just gotta say that movie's really cool.
Do you know it was Japanese?
Shut up.
Oh, wait, that's
Milo
and
Otis.
I forgot that nobody...
We learned last week after recording the podcast that Milo and Otis was a Japanese movie originally. Go figure. Anyway.
Blown minds.
Now, you know, we just blew your mind right now. Yeah. What do you think about that?
Roger IGN. Rabbit, though, is all American.
Support our movies. Anyway.
Yeah.
So anyway, speaking of Mafia Games. 2, Roger Rabbit's a great movie.
Yeah, well, you know. It's probably going to be good. I don't know.
Mafia 2, clearly a ripoff of Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Yeah, pretty much. Which, really, when it gets down to it...
Well, I mean, if you're gonna rip off a movie...
They were really just ripping off Godfather 2 anyway.
Which was a ripoff of Chinatown.
Yeah, the classic steamroller scene.
God, speaking of movies to games to movies and everything, do you guys see that Prince of Persia, Sands of Time, the movie, will now have a game based on it?
What?
So Prince of Persia, Sands of Time, the game, the movie, the game.
Man, I hope it's like Street Fighter, the movie, the game, where it's just a weird FMV sprite game starring Jake Gyllenhaal or whoever it is.
Oh, yeah, he's in that.
So, oh my God, did you guys see the
Get ready for Uncanny Valley, Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah. Oh, The Watchmen. That was also released with the Spike stuff.
Oh, my God.
That was quite possibly one of the worst trailers I've ever seen in my life.
God, that was terrible.
Like, I'm already kind of uneasy about the Watchmen movie. You know, just because, like, I don't know, Zack Snyder, who knows if that guy will make a good movie. But, like, but whatever. I mean, at least it looks pretty nice. And then you get to the game, and it's just like, what? I just watched 2 minutes of, like, a dude walking around and, like, hitting a guy. Like, is that really what this – is that – I mean
– No, yeah, that's what I got out of the comic. Sweet. You know, scissor picks. Pretty cool.
Doing the Watchmen justice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway. I thought that was like a move, the Watchmen Justice.
It probably is.
Yeah, it probably is.
That's a combockable.
Watchmen Justice, says the back of the box. It will blow you away.
Alan Moore.
Yeah. And I guess the other, I mean, there was also the, God, this is a freewheeling episode we've got going here.
We're talking about the VGs.
Yeah, I guess it's all one topic, the VGs. There was the Dante's Inferno stuff, which... Like, I have to admit, like, there's no way that game's actually going to have anything to do with its source material. Yeah. But, like, at least the first half of the trailer, so I'm like, all right, well, whatever. They've got artwork that's sort of interesting, and it's kind of hellacious and crazy looking and stuff. And then they get to the thing, and there's like, I'm going to slam across into a fucking forehead.
Get ready to go to hell.
Yeah, go. Not even get ready. Go to hell.
Was that
Electronic Arts. What? I guess I'll go to hell when I play your game.
You will.
Yeah.
Says moms.
Tycho on Penny Arcade made a pretty good observation, which is, isn't that poem pretty much Dante walking around making, like, interesting philosophical comments? You know, or he's thrusting crucifixes into the splintering skulls of goblins.
Is that work in the public domain? I guess it is.
Yeah, of course.
Mm. I don't know.
Well, I mean,
weird things aren't sometimes.
Who would own the copyright to Dante's Divine Comedy?
EA has licensed the Penguin Books paperback of Dante's Inferno.
I guess theoretically they could license a specific translation.
We brought in that guy.
Right. Yeah. They do a developer video of that guy with the angle, like with the camera at an angle and like backlit so he has a silhouette. Well, actually, from the original old Italian, it's
go to hell. It's just CG lava just blast that guy. Oh, school sucks.
That nerd just got pwned. Go to hell.
Rated M.
Electronic Arts.
So that's going to be a sweet game.
Yeah. Yeah.
Spike TV.
Yeah.
I mean, that whole thing, just what a stupid thing.
That's the Nashville Network.
The Nashville Network.
Yes.
That's old. I don't think they're called that anymore. I think they're the National Network now.
Oh, no. That's Spike TV.
Oh, is that the same channel?
Yeah, TNN.
Oh, wow. I'm out of date. I haven't had cable service for like 8 years.
I believe it's the National Network.
I don't know anything about things. Anyone who doesn't live in the United States thinks we're idiots right now. They might already. Anyway.
I don't know. It helped. It's good to know like the entomology of Spike.
Yeah, I guess it is. Okay. Anyway,
they used to have a lot of country music on that station and Star Trek The Next Generation reruns. Now they have the VGA
Awards.
How long
are we going to keep talking about this?
I think it's a valid point to make.
Okay. I guess it is. Anyway, speaking of EA, I mean, so Nick, was it you guys actually on Chat who first reported today about the Steam thing or?
I guess, yeah.
Am I making that up? Okay, that's cool.
I mean, yeah, we just got a tip from a dude, but
yeah.
Sweet. It's not like we were like, you know, digging it up.
Yeah,
but,
I mean, you wanna...
But yeah, no, this guy noticed that the Spore end user license agreement.
The EULA.
Yeah.
Spore EULA.
It was just sitting on the Steam web, on the Steam apps, not Steam apps, Steam whatever web
Steam
page.
Powered.
Steam powered, yeah. Web page. So probably Spore going to be on Steam, which would, I guess, you know, that would be EA's first in-house title on the service. So that would open up a lot of doors for them.
That'd be cool. I would like to see that. Just basically because I like buying things on Steam.
Yep.
Wait, the Spore EULA revealed that it was on Steam?
The Spore EULA was on the Steam website suggests they're probably, you know. Yeah. We might see it there in the future. The future Spore. Of games. The future of Spore. Yeah, I'm becoming such – I actually feel kind of bad about this because I don't know. I mean, I probably don't need to be this hardline about it, but I've become such a ridiculous Steam snob where it's just like it feels like a chore for me to play games on the PC that I can't get through Steam. Like, I've become so reliant.
Welcome to the future.
It's just so convenient. It's just ridiculous.
When you install another game, you probably add it to your Steam list.
I do, yeah. Mm-hmm. I just use Steam as, like, instead of a start menu for games, I just use Steam. Especially because on Windows Vista, games go into the games folder, and so it's not that much different than loading up Steam anyway. So, yeah. Prince of Persia, for example, like when that came out on Steam when it came out, and I was actually considering getting it from Amazon or something, but Amazon didn't get it in on the day it released, and Steam already had it up there. So I'm like, fuck it, I'm buying this from Steam. So I did, and there was a chance I may not have bought that game at all had it not been on Steam.
Yeah,
right.
So.
What do you think of that game?
Well, yeah, Prince of Persia.
Prince of Persia? Oh, God. It's really not the game I think they should have made.
Yeah.
I mean,
I was really afraid. I sort of pegged that game like a month out just by randomly guessing that this is, you know, just based on my experience with Assassin's Creed.
Oh, really? Yeah. Because
I mean, I just feel
it's not open world at all. I don't think it's
just the way that it's so forgiving,
the consequence free.
Yeah, that just
world
screams Ubisoft to me at this point.
It's, you know, it's funny. I was thinking about the issue with the completely forgiving nature of the game, where you cannot die. I mean, literally, if you mess up, you go back to the nearest checkpoint. But the nearest checkpoint is literally the last time you jumped. It's just like the edge of a cliff where you start doing a trick or whatever.
Not
a trick, God, like a
like a sweet grind.
You know, yeah, right. A acrobatic maneuver. and it's an interesting decision. I mean, on the one hand, it's like, well, really, that's not that much different from what you're doing in any game. You're just cutting out the fluff. You're cutting out the bullshit where you do the same thing you just did 10 seconds ago.
It would also cut out the rewind, but, you know.
Yeah, but, well, the rewind in sense of time is not unlimited.
Right, exactly.
Like,
right.
Well, that, yeah. There's also, such a I'm not arguing consequence that in that, and I like that.
It's also a much more elegant solution. Like, it actually feels like it integrates with the game in a meaningful way.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was what was so weird about this to me with Prince of Persia. I was thinking, well, I can understand why a developer would want to, especially in a game that relies, you know, on doing these crazy acrobatic moves, I can understand why they'd want to remove that immediate, you're going to die all the time.
Yeah.
But the thing that blew my mind is, like, in this very series, 3 games ago, you guys implemented, like, the best version of that I've seen in a platforming game, like, up till Braid, maybe, which is the time rewind thing.
I don't know how the new one plays, but one thing that I really liked in Sands of Time about the way the rewind mechanic worked, where, you know, it's up to you both from a sort of skill standpoint and from a just your willingness to rewind time standpoint. So you know, you die and rewind, et cetera, et cetera. But if you do really drastically fuck it up and it pulls you back, that game, I mean, there was admittedly really only one main route through a thing.
Right.
But the fact that the game, if you really, really, really were blowing it, forced you to go back. If it really blew you away. I mean, I found, at least partly because I suck at these games, that because of the fact that I was dying and had to go back, I ended up finding better ways to do it, and I ended up becoming a lot better at the game. Whereas a game that, like, this game is basically in a way admitting that there's only one way through.
Right.
Like, if you miss this jump, it's okay. It's actually, you're on the right track. It's the only jump you can take. Mm-hmm. In Sands of Time, if you fuck it up, you can go back and go, okay, well, maybe I actually need to reassess what I'm doing. And
that, part of that is sort of, like, just an illusion, really. But it,
yeah, but
it
I
makes
mean,
you, yeah, but it,
the, both the use of the use of the sand and the sort of slightly clumsy, but very player mandatory controls for every player movement, grappling and jumping and all that stuff. It does make you feel like there's a lot of player intent involved, and it feels like a lot of that has been cut, which sucks, because Sands of Time and Ico were the first games that made me personally realize that, like, just basically two analog sticks was, like, all the sort of virtual reality you would ever need. Like, I guess this is a weird diversion to go off on.
Yeah, but,
like,
but in terms of that certain type of physicality and kind of interaction with an environment, like in a really dynamic, fluid way.
The connection between what my eyes were seeing and what my brain was doing, like my hands and the controller became invisible in those games.
And that's kind of,
I felt like I was doing it. I didn't feel like the game was doing anything without my telling it to.
And that's what's one of the things that's such a shame about the new Prince of Persia is that when you actually get into it and you get into kind of a run, which is actually fairly, you know, coincidentally, fairly similar to the feeling you get in Tony Hawk when you pull off a really ridiculous string of moves. When you get into one of those in the new Prince of Persia, it still feels just as amazing. When you're going through and literally hitting every jump and like riding up every wall and slinging over across everything, I mean, it's pretty goddamn great. Like, it feels fantastic. But then as soon as you fuck up and nothing goes wrong, it's like you it sort of cheapens the times right. when everything works right.
Right.
Mm. Like, it's like, well, I mean, I guess I could just keep fucking up bit by bit. Like, there's never, it's never forces you to master it in a line. And that's what's weird, because it really excels at creating that great sensation
right.
of the unbroken line. And then it sabotages that exact design constraint, which is really weird. I mean, there's also just the first hour of the game, which I found almost intolerable, where every single time you do anything, the game's like, don't forget, you got to jump right here. Like, you got a wall run. This is the part where you jump. Jump now. Jump, jump.
Wouldn't it be great, especially when you're making the fourth entry in a series, if you could let players turn off tutorial tooltips?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's how you swing your sword in Zelda. Thanks.
Yeah. It was pretty insulting. Also, the... You're interrupted constantly for mandatory, as far as I can tell, they're 100% mandatory, unless there's another button on the Xbox 360 controller that I plugged into
button.
My PC that doesn't, no, I pressed every fucking button.
It's the center bumper.
You've got to do like what you had to do on the...
Plug
on
in the microphone.
Yeah.
Like what you had to do on the old consoles, like hold down every button, then it'll do a soft reset. You got to do that. That's how you skip the cutscenes.
So you can't skip cutscenes?
No, you can't.
Spoiler. Oh.
And it interrupts all the time to have this banter between the prince and the princess.
So the best part about and Sands of Time was that it just happened.
Yeah, in line. Like, you're just looking around. Like that,
well, there's
yeah.
some of that in this game, but it's constantly making you stop and talk to each other. And also, the prince is just kind of like a douche version of Disney's Aladdin. He's just like...
yeah.
He's just
does
like
he sing?
Smarmy... That would be awesome. Why doesn't anyone made a musical game? That'd be hilarious.
That would
probably
be funny,
have,
actually.
But yeah. No, he's just like, everything he says, it's like the princess says something. He's like, oh, yeah, this ba-doo-bop, skitty-bop. And it's like, yes, she just said that. Boy, I wish I wasn't on this adventure. Like, well, you fucking are. So stop being an asshole.
I'm
like,
stuck with you the whole time. Be interesting. Yeah.
And then, of course, he, you know, like any sort of stupid half-assed video game character, he immediately flips a switch to, I care so deeply about what you're doing, and like, oh, it's like, what? Okay.
So at the end of the game, is like, secretly, he's just a weird, two-faced, manipulative cunt.
See, that's the kind of shit I want out of my video game.
Like, whenever no she's within earshot, he's like, I love you, and then she sort of walks out of his sort of like, like sphere of influence. Yeah. Like, fucking bitch, God.
That would be amazing. Like, can you imagine if someone implemented that on a context-sensitive basis? Because there's actually a button you can press in this game to initiate just like a goofy little repartee between the two characters. If that was actually proximity based.
She walks over. I can't. Oh, hey, honey. Hey.
Oh, it's so good to see you.
Man,
I'll never let you out of my sight. And then when she walks out of your sight,
God, thank God.
Jesus, get rid of that ball and chain.
Great.
Like, that would be really amusing. Oh, also, speaking of the voice acting, I just snapped. Snappy gamer. the princess's name is Elika. Which is seems like sort of just a generically exotic kind of. It's like Erica, but it's Elika. She's exotic. But the best part is her father, he probably exists later in the game too, but I've only seen him at the beginning.
Probably as like the evil viceroy.
Yeah, right. He's trying
yeah,
to.
Yeah, right.
Well, he probably is.
Both said, yeah, right. Never mind.
Yeah, right.
Right.
How about that? Yeah, but anyway, he comes in and he's got this kind of deep voice. And I swear to God, it sounds like he just has a lisp or something. He's like, my daughter, Elika. Like, it sounds like he's trying to say Erica and he just has a speech impediment. Elika, I just wanted to save you. Like, goofy as shit. Just like the game, it just feels like it's praying for me not to take it seriously or invest myself in it. Because, I mean, on the one hand, you've got these characters who are just these generic as they come. And then on the other hand, you've got the game basically saying nothing you do has any consequence. Like, we will always catch your ass when you fall. Like, there's no way to make this not work.
When there's one set of footprints, it's when Prince of Persia was carrying you.
Yes. And but you know what really fucking kind of irritates me almost?
What really fucking kind of irritates me almost?
Well, because it's not a real reason to be irritated, but it's still just really fun. It's still really, really fun to run around on the walls and jump around and just actually hit all that stuff and get it right. I mean, it really still is just some of the best implementation of that in any game, and it's just...
It's cool. Got everything else?
They've been refining it for all these years. I guess it makes sense that they'd be good at it.
And they've let all the other good stuff just fall
away.
Yeah,
that's just so strange. And it's sort of an almost gorgeous game, too. Like, I think the composition, the colors, all that stuff is fantastic.
But then they just put tune shading black outlines around everything.
Why do they do that? It makes it look shitty.
Yeah, the color design and the actual just art in general in that game is great.
Oh, it's gorgeous, yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. It makes it look like a thing that I don't like about a lot of anime styled games out of Japan, where it's just there's this.
Right.
It looks like a cartoon times, if you just put black outlines around this. Like,
yeah. 1995. No, just leave the black outline off, and it will look better. Like it won't. I mean,
maybe they did it because they saw that there wasn't enough contrast, like enough separation.
That's actually probably true because there's a lot of pastels.
The color palette is kind of homogenized as nice as it is. So I mean, maybe they did it just for that. And then said, hey, now but it's like a comic book.
Right. And then you got people on the internet calling it cel shading, which it isn't. But anyway.
Oh, that is the thing that we were talking about, is that it does, to me, kind of look, it looks like a lot of modern sort of superhero comic books, which are just inked. And then even though they're inked in sort of in the style of old comic books, they're then just colored like to the most meticulous painted detail in Photoshop over the top, where it's like if a guy is wearing armor, it's like the black sort of just, generally sort of. Illustrator style stroke, to denote like legs and stuff, and then in Photoshop there's this like perfectly drawn like meticulous armor, and it's like
I mean, to me it almost looks like those crap, I don't know if you guys even know what I'm talking about, those crappy like promotional comics you sometimes get with the press people give you for games and stuff, and I'm sure they exist in other contexts as well, where it's just like we got the guys to whip up some renders of these models and then we put outlines on them and printed them on a page.
I just threw out my Gears of War 2 comic actually.
Exactly. So that's what I think it looks like. Yeah. But I actually do think it looks really nice. I just wish the outline was gone. Cool. Maybe actually on the PC, maybe someone will make a patch. Get rid of the outline.
Maybe my graphics card won't be good enough to support those outlines like the Penny Arcade game.
On that note, actually, I guess since I'm playing it on PC, I should mention it's a really good PC port.
Oh.
It's really
no DRM on the retail.
Yeah, no DRM on the retail. I got it on Steam, so I guess it has whatever Steam uses.
It has,
that's
VAC.
That's fine with me. I've never had a problem with Steam DRM.
Yeah.
But it's really well done. It runs great. I turned everything up to the maximum without even testing it, and I never have any drop frames. And
the Ultra.
I don't know what it's called, but
Ultra Boost.
Yeah.
It's running at native resolution. It's running at 1920 by 1200, which is preposterous. And it, I mean, I don't know. I mean,
that's
only
not that goofy these days when you have 1920 by 1080 is 1080p.
Yeah, but most people don't actually make their games render in 1080p. Hardly anyone does that. The consoles upscale to it, but.
You're right.
Very few games.
Sorry, I take that back. Sorry. 1280 by 720. Anything above that.
No, I'm just saying. Because I only bring it up because, honestly, a lot of PC ports these days are shit. Look at Grand Theft Auto 4, which I think they released a patch for today.
It was just patched. Yeah. So maybe it's great.
Who knows?
It actually caused more issues, but anyway.
Did it really?
Yeah.
God. But I did want to sort of congratulate Ubisoft on making that work because it does feel like a game that was developed for the PC. It obviously wasn't developed mainly for the PC, but someone cared enough to make it work. So
cool,
well done. And I originally played it with a mouse, and then I switched over to a 360 one because I have a corded 360 keyboard or keypad, and they both work fine. So
cool.
Yep. Anyway, that's that game.
And Prince of Persia of the game.
We can take a break.
All right.
Oh, and then this song you're about to hear. I don't even know what I can say.
It's a musical tour de force.
Yes.
Yeah.
But at least it's a musical.
It is a musical.
It's opera.
I mean, bear in mind, both sides of this conflict are exaggerated a bit.
No, this is fact.
Over the last 6 fiscal quarters, I tried to do my best as EA CEO. I told my team we've got to go for more original IP. This many yearly sequels are not for me, and the press, the online forums did rejoice at our new games. We attracted fewer Crisis, Dead Space, Mirror's Edge, and Rock Band, that's a fun one. Spore and Valve's whole catalog, don't mention Hellgate London. We signed up id, Epic Games, even Grasshopper's involved. With all these great game studios, someday our past sins will be absolved. But wait, what's this I see? Is that the latest NBD? What's happened to our stock? it's falling like a rock now.
Hello? Who's there? Bobby Kotick?
Yes, it is I, the CEO of Blizzard Activision. I pump out yearly series with superhuman precision. Don't you see the error of your ways? You thought new IP was what the gamers want to play. No, no, that's wrong. They just want more of the same four brands to be explored. That is the way you see to profitability.
That doesn't seem right. I thought with our standing we could be a light for creativity and innovation while staying practical with Madden Sequelization. Bringing yearly cash, it seems so good. Developers, investors, the media and gamers, a business model we all can get behind. But after all this money spent and time, look at us now.
Oh, come now, John, you know quite well how profit can be turned.
I do?
Look into your past at methods you have spurned.
You don't mean...
You've been too close, you got attached to the games, you are too kind.
I don't mind.
To really get your money's worth, to take the longer view. There's one thing that always works, and that's to add a two.
A two?
2, 3, 4.
Hey, wait a minute. You're right. I've had it all wrong. These new games aren't one-offs, they're...
Say it.
Franchises.
Go on.
Yeah, franchises. I can see it now. And there's Dead Space 2 and Rock Band 3 and Crysis PSP. Hellgate London Conquest. How about Dead Space 3?
Dead Space 3?
I've outsourced 2 to Singapore.
That's the spirit.
I'm getting it.
Yes.
Mirror's Edge will do a little bit differently. We'll marry strong business with strong IP.
What does that even mean, John?
I don't know, but it sounds fantastic.
Glad to have you back, my friend.
Yeah. Hey, what's this? Brutal Legend?
But I can't.
This looks great.
No, you can't do that.
See ya, Bobby.
And so, John Riccitiello charted a fiscal course for Electronic Arts, free of the influence of Activision. But not even Pacton knows what the future holds. So saith the wizard.
Speaking of 8-bit alarm cock, welcome back. Now,
you don't want to know what our discussions are when we're
no,
taking a break.
But we'll tell you. We were talking about the 800 million domain names that point to our site.
You don't want to know.
Yeah.
Trust me.
So,
but we're going to tell you anyway.
Yeah. Our podcast is, as you probably know, available at idlethumbs.net, but it's also available.
Tell me more.
It's available at 800 million other domain names because our readers keep buying us domain names, and we also buy some.
Kind of them.
It's nice of you. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the latest one, which is a reference to 8-bit cock, which was from like 2 episodes ago.
Yeah.
Well, also, I might as well say that 8bitcock.com was already registered, which is 8 spelled out E-I-G-H-T. And then Toblix, I think, from the forums?
Yeah.
Also registered 8bitalarmcock.com, which is 8, the number 8, bit alarm cock. And that's a countdown to...
It's a count up, I think. Or is it a countdown?
I don't know. It's
There's a timer on there counting.
I thought it was an IP address. But anyway...
The numbers are constantly changing.
It's an ARG.
It's, I don't know, one of our
Tell
readers
us what it means.
One of our readers made this weird site that has like a number that just changes.
Yeah, if you can decode 8-bit alarm cock and send your what it is to questions at idlethumbs.net, we would really love to know what that is.
Yeah, we'd be thrilled to know.
But anyway, just for the record, in addition to those, we also have strategychocolate.biz, explodemode.com with a hyphen. That's a great site.
Yeah.
Videogames.com, vigivigivigi.com, goty.cx, and then idlethumbs.net and idlethumbs.com. So there are like 9 or 10 ways to get to our site now.
Come to our site once a day, and every day of the week you can get there a different way.
Yep. Some of those sites also contain secret
bonus
surprises.
Splash pages and stuff. Yeah.
So,
how did that start? Did someone just do it? Like, did someone just make... Was Explode Mode maybe the first one?
I think strategychocolate.biz as a forward.
Someone just bought that and just gave it to us. I think it's still theirs, though. They reserve the right, I think, to reclaim it at any time.
So when the competing Strategy Chocolate podcast starts, you know that they got the idea from us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the money from themselves.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, so yeah, this is... It's going to be a terrible seg.
That's a bad seg.
It's going to be a terrible seg.
It's a segue.
You know, right. But I guess this is something related to something we were talking about off air as well. The recent Sony ad, which I'm sure a lot of you have probably seen.
I have definitely not seen this.
Well, yeah, you guys
Sony
haven't.
Ad.
I'm saying,
is it a TV ad or is it like
real video game fans have seen it.
Well, that just goes to show you. I hate video games. Yeah. Was this on the web or a TV? Or
yeah, it's a TV ad.
It was like a TV
it's like
commercial?
Their holiday. Yeah, yeah, TV commercial. TV com.
Jake gets very offended when you call those little videos in between shows on TV ads.
I know.
He hates it.
It's a break from the sponsor.
Very charitable of you.
We set aside a little time.
Because we appreciate them. Anyway, what is this thing that you're talking about?
Oh, well, it's this guy, and he buys a PlayStation 3, and he's like, yeah, great, I can play like Resistance 2, Motocross. And then,
does he actually list off a bunch of names?
Yeah, no, he does. He does.
Like the Infogram song.
So it's not about games. So the Sony had to like get a few games in there just to remind people that it's a game machine. But so she's like, yeah, Resistance 2. And then his like girlfriend comes in and she's like, oh, is that a PlayStation 3? And he's like,
what?
He's like, yeah, honey. It's my internet movie playing machine. He's like, look, you can download all these movies, and then that's their holiday ad.
Can you?
Yeah, you can. I guess.
Nice.
As it turns out.
Well, they don't have that many, do they?
Well, it's a computer entertainment system. Yeah, it can do everything a computer can do.
Right.
Hello, Gaff.
Anyway, that is really weird. That's a really weird marketing strategy.
Yeah,
it's fool your significant other into spending $400 to play a movie.
Yeah,
man.
I mean, I guess
Crazy Ken is spinning in his fucking grave at that ad.
Although, now that I kind of honestly give a second of thought to it, like
a second of thought.
Yeah, well, I thought about it for about a second. No. That is a fairly brilliant. I mean, I don't
is
know if it'll
brilliant?
Actually work.
It might be his sort of sexist and demeaning. Also,
well, honey, it's not for games,
but it might also
it's this crazy box that
but
plays
it might
your favorite
also
movies.
Be accurate. I mean, come
it's
on,
true.
Now.
It is like, true. Yeah,
that could happen.
Yeah. I know
that probably has happened many, many times.
It has happened. I am like proof.
Is that every time you buy a system?
Yeah. Like, right. Yeah. Yeah. No. Like,
but
that
I thought
exact
we have
scene.
Three other things that play movies. This one plays even more movies.
Yeah.
This one lets you make a me.
On what other system?
Yeah. And the guy who introduced it originally said it would play movies, but it doesn't. But
but hey, you know, no returns.
Everybody
what
votes.
Can I do? I already opened it. Everybody votes. You know what's funny about that, actually? Steve, who's been on the podcast a couple times, his girlfriend does not play video games at all.
But she votes.
She loves everybody votes. They both, every day, I don't know if they still do this, but for a long time, months and months and months, every day they went on to whenever they refreshed the questions, they went on and voted. And it's just like a ritual with them.
I do that with my girlfriend all the time.
That's fascinating to me.
Yeah.
Have aliens visited this planet?
It's really interesting because, I don't say this in like a in a way that this is like sort of my larger belief, but man, like it was really weird just to see trends actually reflected. I mean, it is kind of a pretty cool idea for a thing to put on a console. Just like
it is really
to
cool.
see those weird trends play out through like across regions and like age groups and even genders in a lot of cases.
Depends on like some of them are just stupid. But,
well, obviously some of them are stupid. Yeah, I know. I mean, I guess I have I'm thinking of the interesting ones because they actually, when I was at their house one time, that was mainly my experience with this channel.
Are you left-handed or right-handed?
Them, yeah, like well, what, that's like stupid, that obviously. But I mean, they were
are
showing me a bunch
a
of the ones. And, yeah. God damn it, I always fuck this
the breakdown
up.
For that would actually be great.
It would, actually, yeah. It would be.
Who self-identifies weird?
Yeah. So anyway, I mean, I guess fool your, I don't know, spouse or girlfriend into buying.
Do you like games? Hoodwink someone else into buying a PlayStation. They can watch Finding Nemo Blu-ray.
Yep. Man, I bought the Wall-E Blu-ray. That thing is amazing. That movie's goddamn good. Yep. And I watch it on my PS3. I really...
You fooled yourself!
Fooled myself.
It's your movie playing machine.
You thought you were going to play motocross or whatever.
Yeah, I thought I was going to play Resistance 2 Motocross or whatever weird fictional game you invented. The best Resistance yet. It'll blow you away.
On your sweet dirt bike.
Yeah.
Anyway.
No, but it's, I mean, at the risk of sounding...
Well, I mean, Microsoft stupid, could have that same ad, though.
Yeah, I know, but I mean... Yeah.
Buy this Xbox, it plays Netflix movies.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, I don't know, the PS3 is really a nice Blu-ray player. Like, I actually am really glad I have it now. Like, I mean, it's not... I never would have bought a Blu-ray player for myself, ever. Like, right. That's just not the kind of thing I would have thought to spend money on.
It's still a big selling point for me for getting a PS3.
I mean, it's really, really nice being able to see movies like that in high definition. It's ridiculous to be saying this now 2 years later or whatever, but I like it.
Yeah.
It's handy.
But I wasn't entirely kidding about the 360 and Netflix.
Yeah.
I mean, like, the number of people on my friends list who are perpetually like, so-and-so is playing Netflix.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, actually, that's me a lot lately.
Yeah.
Especially as I've become I've just started becoming such a dominantly PC gamer again.
Right.
My 360 actually has been the Netflix machine since it came out. Ticket to Ride also. Ticket to Ride and Netflix.
This is super slovenly, but I found an app for my iPhone that lets you update your Netflix instant queue. So I now sit on my couch searching on my iPhone for Netflix movies, add That's them to awesome. The queue, and then play it on the 360.
You're turning into the Twilight Princess player.
I am. But yeah, I mean, seriously, you probably could make an ad for the 360 that's like, 360, it's got a lot of sweet games. But you'll really use it for Netflix all the fucking time.
And Live Arcade.
Yeah.
I mean, Ticket to Ride is pretty great. No one ever talks about it, but I mean, really, that game and Netflix.
Oh man, that reminds me of the Netflix Netflix achievements.
The Netflix achievements.
Oh yeah.
It's my personal wish that the Netflix app on the 360 would actually give you gamer points and achievements.
the cheesiest, stupidest shit ever.
I would love it. Like, Netflix could encourage good movie watching taste by giving you achievements.
There's like a panel of judges that determines.
Well, yeah, if it's like or just like watch three.
You have unlocked The Godfather 2.
Well, just like watch three film noir movies rated 4 stars or higher to completion.
You have seen 4 movies by Sidney Lumet.
Like, right. That'd be awesome.
I mean, that'd be kind of sweet, actually.
I would be.
You know what it really would be, though, is you watched Iron Man 18 times.
Yeah, I know.
The Dark Knight scene again.
Right. Yeah, it would be.
Not that.
Warner Brothers movie, Extreme but. Marathon Challenge, Iron Man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a naive Xbox player. I didn't know that like Madden had sponsored achievements until the other day when Steve Gannon told me that of like the Extreme Mountain Dew like Juke Challenge. Yeah, like, really?
Oh my god! Going back to Spike TV real quick. Their independent
speaking of Extreme,
their independent games was sponsored by Mountain Dew. It was like best independent game fueled by the Dew. It's like how could you pick two worse things?
Yeah,
like a worse award to sponsor with a big corporation. And when Braid was nominated for that, and I interviewed Braid in Montreal.
You interviewed Braid? Frank Braid?
I interviewed John Blow a few weeks ago in Montreal, and I asked him, I'm like, how do you feel being nominated for Best Independent Game fueled by Mountain Dew? And he just had the most like pained, depressed look on his face, and he's like, what, are you serious? And I'm like, yeah, it's sponsored by Mountain Dew. And he's like, oh, I might have to withdraw my game from that.
Oh,
I don't think he
douche.
Did.
Sorry, like, whatever. Take your goddamn award and your crate of dew.
And your crate of dew. Did he win it? I don't know. I haven't looked at the winners of this.
All participants get Mountain Dew the home game.
Nice.
It's just a 2-liter.
Do you know if he won the independent thing?
I didn't watch the awards.
I didn't either. I don't know if it was Better World. I think it might have been World of Goo, but...
Yeah, those are both good games.
If there's one thing I don't watch, it's the independent games.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know how much... I mean, coming from Spike, like, honestly, I mean, who watching that would, I don't know, well, whatever.
Maybe,
I shouldn't assume too much, I guess.
I mean, in all honesty, that's good that Spike has independent games.
You're right.
Because, like, I like Mountain Dew. Yeah. Maybe I'll like Braid. And maybe they would. And then maybe that's they'll play some other stuff.
Why do you think I played it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was true. Anyway, I mean, speaking of independent games, actually, I'm a judge on the Independent Game Festival this year. And I did.
So this is some hot scoops for the IGF coming up.
Yeah.
Who will win?
Braid. It was so great, we had to just give it an award next year, too.
Yes. Braid Award.
They rewound time, and it turns out it didn't win any awards before. So
yeah, that guy sucked at playing. Braid 2.
Anyway, so I've been checking out the games, doing my judging for it, and some of these games are freaking awesome. Like the ones that each judges are randomly selected, so I've only so far played sort of a small subset.
How does that work? Do you have to actually score these games like 1 to 5 or something like that? Or do you just...
Yeah, it's cheesy graphics. GameSpot style, like artistic achievement,
fun
or like
factor,
artistic graphics.
Tilt?
No, there's none of that. It's like innovation, game design, sound, technical graphics, artistic graphics, and like overall. Mm. I mean, they have to do it that way because there's I don't know, like 20 judges or whatever, and they've got to somehow whittle it down. Like,
yeah, no,
I understand why they do it that way for those purposes.
That's fine.
It does sort of irritate me having to score something.
You wish
on
you
innovation.
Could write like a 2-page long sort of like travel journal of what it's
well,
like being immersed
there is
in the world.
There is a space for written feedback, and I took advantage of it for every game. But anyway, some of the I just wanted to call out some of these because some of them are pretty goddamn cool. There's one actually called Atmosphere, which is spelled Atmosphir, which I think is just atmosphere.com. And it's basically Little Big Planet, but on the PC and Mac and 3D instead of 2D. I mean, the art direction is totally different. It's more of a...
but it's a sort of user built encouraged?
Yeah, it's all user built, and it's really nice. It plays really well. It's just like a really cool, like, mega 3D platformer thing. I mean, it's like a lot of people are, like, recreating Mario 64 levels and stuff because it's on a 3D...
that's what everyone always does when you get excited about Community World Christian Jewels. That's cool, though. I mean, it's a good place to start.
I mean, there's also, you know, 3D remakes of, like, Mario 1 levels, for example, stuff like that. And then there's just, like...
They're stretching it out.
Really, the creative muscles are being flexed here. But no, there's actually a huge amount of user-created content already. It's in some kind of beta, I guess, right now.
Cool.
And it's just really cool. It's really, really, really slick. It does not, I mean, it feels like...
It does not feel like an independent game.
It doesn't, well, I mean, compared to most of the stuff I'm playing, which definitely, if it's really great, like, you know, it looks like it's made by a few guys, and I like that most of the time. Like, I like seeing a game that's like, oh man, a few dudes made this and like just made it on their own. Like, that's, I think, really awesome. But this game really, I think, probably has a lot of people on it because it's pretty polished. And,
or one robot.
Yeah. But it's pretty cool. I guess I don't want to mention all these or I'll go on forever, but Spheroid is really cool. It's like Puzzle Bobble, but with physics. I mean, that's probably the most succinct way to put it.
There's so many genuinely good indie games that are...
Yeah.
It's like this classic game, but with a really good physics implementation.
Yeah, but it really makes this game really cool because you can do stuff like... basically, in this game, it's, you know, it's Puzzle Bobble. You match the bubbles, and when you match them, they break off from whatever clump they're attached to, and they fall down. But since it's all physics-based... If they fell down without actually matching three and disappearing, you can shoot another bubble into it and it will actually react with collision and physics and send it careening off another direction and maybe clump back into another group of bubbles.
Yeah, that's cool.
Like really cool. You can do crazy bank shots and this crazy shit. And it's...
What's that called?
It's called Spheroid.
Okay.
And it's fun. Let's see. There's one called Dyson that I bring up because it's kind of like a weird cross between Sins of a Solar Empire and Galcon, like that game that you play on iPhone all the time. it's kind of like Sins in that it's got that. It's like planet. It takes place on planets. It's all very simple 2D line art. It's really elegant and nice looking. And it's got the kind of Sins or, I guess, Supreme Commander also style scroll where you can zoom right in and see the little individual guys, scroll all the way out and see essentially an overall map that's just a zoom out. And it's basically just deals with planting trees on these planets, which in turn hatch seedlings, and then you send those seedlings off to colonize other planets. So in that respect, it's very similar to Galcon, but with the added mechanic of planting stuff on the planets.
Right, it's got the close-up strategy as well as just dragging troops off of your planet.
Exactly, yeah.
Cool.
It's really fun. It's a really... It's stripped down, and I sort of started playing it and was like, this feels way too basic. And then, you know, of course, as you start getting into the harder levels, it starts... really taking advantage of the few mechanics it does have in a really cool way.
Cool.
And it's looks nice. it's just like a really simple line art, really cool looking thing. Last one I guess I'll mention is Retrograde, which is really difficult to explain. It's basically a horizontal side scrolling shooter in the vein of, you know, like Defender or like R-Type or whatever. I mean, just, not that it plays like those, but it's, you're a ship on a horizontal axis.
Yeah.
And
like flying through space.
Except you're going backwards. And the idea of the game is you are like a captain of a ship who saved a space princess or whatever. And like,
so it's what happens at the end of a regular shmup.
It's like what, I can't say it cause it'll be a spoiler, but basically a spoiler of a different game, but basically, is it okay to spoil Braid?
Oh, I haven't finished it yet, but
I shouldn't then.
You can spoil it.
Well, I just did by saying.
Oh, whatever.
Anyway,
I mean, really, by saying that.
I know. Yeah, everyone's fucked. We're all screwed. God,
here's a secret about the narration in Sands of Time.
The premise of this game is you are a sort of space fighter shooting guy who just completed an entire adventure of scrolling forward sideways in space, and then someone fucked with the space-time continuum, and now you have to do it all backwards. Mm. And so,
you totally didn't have to make any sort of analogy to any other game to explain that. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, you're right. So the way it works is God damn it!
I wish you could just rewind time.
Shot like oh no. Like energy blasts fly
sweet
from enemy ships out into your gun, and you must press the fire button as they hit your gun.
Oh
which,
man!
Which do you, so
that's
does that
crazy
make sense?
Yeah, like, that makes sense. Yeah.
And then other lasers come from the left side of the screen into you, and you must dodge those as they come backwards.
Oh, to
and
go,
that
to
represents
go into the other guys.
The shots.
Right.
No, that's yeah. That represents the shots that. The guys to your right shot at you
right,
in
right,
the future.
Right.
Yeah. So it's just like, and also it's all timed to music. So all this stuff happens on a timeline. So like,
do the sound effects happen in reverse?
No, but that'd be funny. Actually, I guess they kind of do. It's a very sort of like ambiguous laser bzzz sound. So like,
it's probably zooped.
Yeah. And so it's, you know, it's all synced to music. So the whole time you're doing this, there are vertical lines coming both towards you from the right side of the screen and in the opposite direction from the left side of the screen in time with
so
the
it's
lasers.
So it's also kind of secretly a rhythm game?
Exactly. It's a rhythm game. And you can play it either with, if you have a gamepad, you can play it using the analog stick to go up and down the screen. There's like rows. Or if you're on the computer, you can do it like that with the arrow keys, or you can use like the number keys to just jump straight to a row, which I prefer doing.
So can you actually just plug in your guitar?
You could probably do that, and that'd be awesome, and I wish I would have thought to try it. If there's a USB driver that just turns the guitar input into generic controller input, then yeah, you probably could. But it's really cool. It's one of the cleverest takes on both the rhythm genre and the side-scrolling shooter genre at the same time. The guy basically didn't have to invent any new mechanics. He just had to frame them in a hilarious way.
Yeah, right? That sounds cool.
And it's awesome. It's so cool. It's so called Retrograde.
All of those sound pretty awesome.
Yeah, yeah. Those were probably my favorite ones that I rated personally.
You heard it here first.
Yeah, so that was a long, dry segment of me talking a lot.
Yeah, I don't know. All those games, I want to play them
I'll
all.
I'll check them out.
Yeah.
Sweet games.
Total games.
Totally games.
Totally games.
They made X-Wing.
Fact.
Man, that was a genre. Where the hell are all the goddamn space sims? Anyway.
They all got crossed with music.
Like the Cowboys, they're all gone. What? They all got crossed with music? Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, that's weird.
All right, you guys want to do some reader mail?
Yeah, reader mail.
I love reader mail. It's like when readers have mail. How about that? All right. Thomas Barcus writes, "Hey, y'all, my name is Thomas." Okay. "Over the last few weeks, I've been playing games like a madman. I just beat GTA and played Rock Band 2 and beat the Endless Setlist, etc. But now I've hit the wall while playing Fallout 3. After beating Fable 2, I put 10 hours into Fallout and now I'm stuck." And then he describes sort of a situation where he's in the game. Oh, I see what he's saying. "In the basement of a building with a settlement with at least 10 super mutants, I have no ammo, I have 50 hit points, I haven't saved in hours." So
that's my life sometimes in Half-Life games. I hate that. Anyway,
yeah. So that's his question basically is, have you ever hit the wall so hard you just stop playing games entirely for a while? And then what brings you back to the game? Thanks and love the show. It's like coolness, peace and chicken grease, lateness, Thomas B.
If it's a PC game with a console, like with a developer console, like Tilde.
Oh, like a Tilde?
I usually just cheat my way out of that because I'm a fucking schmo. So the internet hates me now. I'm sorry. But
or you can
it's true.
You can download a save.
Direct hate mail to questions at idlethumbs.net.
Why download a save when you can just turn on God mode, give yourself some ammo. Yeah. I hate games.
Well, that I guess that,
having self esteem.
I don't do that usually. Usually, I just get in those states and I just stop playing the game.
Yeah,
that's,
no,
that's the other option.
That's definitely happened to me.
Yeah,
I mean, have you guys ever gotten to a state though that he describes where you just stop playing games in like not just that game, but you sort of just get burned out and you just sort of stop?
That happened to me in Metroid Prime. I got to a point where just the way I was set up. I was just raped. Actually, in Prince of Persia: Sands of Time, that also happened to me.
Oh, yeah, I remember dealing with you for like I've been putting up with your shit for 2 years. No,
in
like,
Sands of Time, I got
every
to the point
three
where
months
the...
I'd be like, "So, you ever play more Sands of Time?" You stole the elevator.
Well, I lost my memory card, so that game. But
so you never beat it?
No, I've seen someone else.
The ending of that game.
I've seen
so
someone
good.
Else complete the game since then. But I had a save game forever that was on the spinning spiral thing where just a million guys come and rape me.
Yeah.
And my save game started with almost no health, and God, that was the end of that game. And for like a couple weeks, that was the end of me playing games because I hated games. For hating
games
me.
Are so weird in that respect. They can just sort of.
If you see a bad movie, you're not like, I'm putting down film.
I couldn't even get to the end. I had to walk out of the theater and you know, like that doesn't happen. I guess it happens sometimes.
Probably some guy.
Yeah. But yeah, that sucks. Man, that also just makes me think about how fucking good Sands of Time was. It was just good. It was a good game. The combat was not that great, but like, just compared to the action, everything else about that game, literally every other thing except the combat was so good. Man,
really
fun game.
But yeah, man.
Oh, just
sometimes
this new Prince of Persia just makes
sometimes
me
sometimes I get
sad.
Into a chapter in a book.
Yeah,
and I just swear, I just swear off reading for 6 months.
That has happened to me.
That is a, yeah, that's actually
really?
Me. That's it. Yeah, like
I hate when that happens, but it has happened to me before.
I guess. I don't know. That actually hasn't happened to me.
That happened to me with Cryptonomicon by Neal Stephenson.
That happens to a lot of people with that book, I think.
Yeah, I don't actually want to go back and finish it.
Really. I mean, that book actually gets pretty good.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right, maybe I will. Anyway,
fact. Yeah,
happened to me in Rogue Leaders when I got halfway through after Grim Fandango came out. Yeah, it became lame. Actually, I'm gonna mean Grim Fandango.
Yeah, I got stuck in Rubikava for quite a long time.
Yeah, that game took me a long. That game probably took me the better part of a year to complete. I never went on the internet to look for. I don't know why. I should have just gone and looked for a goddamn game guide.
I just cheated.
Opened up the console and turned on God mode.
Sweet.
Spawn the bone wagon.
Yeah.
Drive, no clip, drive through the whole fucking level.
Is that the name of this episode?
Spawn the Bone
Spawn
Wagon.
The Bone Wagon.
That's not a bad name. Oh man, I saw this commercial for some product called Wonder Boner, and it's like, it bones fish. Anyway, that's pretty funny.
When you said it bones fish, I was at first confused.
Yeah, it was a really disgusting product.
Weird. It was definitely on after 10 p.m.
It was one of those channels where it was coming through fuzzy, and I could only sort of make out what there was.
Wonder Boner. What?
It bones fish. What?
Yeah, I couldn't see it. It was scrambled, but it was probably really fucking horrible.
So yeah, you can search for that, I guess.
So anyway, yeah, that's what happens when a game gets tough.
Wonderboner.com. Soon to be a redirect.
I hope so. Boy,
that
traffic.
That's
yes. Those are the people we need reading art.
We need the page rank.
Yeah.
Wonderboner will bring us.
It's a totally different demographic. Just think how much it'll expand our SEO.
Yeah, I was searching for Wonderboner and I got idle thumbs.
Maybe they'll send us a question.
Yeah.
So you guys sell the Wonderboner or what? Is that
I got
what's
this fish.
It's been hanging around here for a few days, so I'm hoping you can help me out.
By the way, here's my game idea.
Yeah. That is, for those who don't know, that is a thing that happens all the time. If you run or work for any kind of website that has anything to do with games, people will think you're the people that make the game, and they will send you sometimes handwritten letters about why you should make this game idea. So if anyone's going to do that, we don't make the games, actually.
We'll talk about your game
idea. I
guess Jake
does.
I mean, do not send unsolicited game ideas to Telltale Games. I think we legally must throw them away.
Sweet.
But if you send them to questions@idlethumbs.net, we'll read them and discuss their merits or make fun of you. So
that sounds like a winning option.
Send us your design doc or log in to your game design wiki if you're a game development studio.
Sweet. Anyway, I don't know what we're talking about, but let's
see.
Reader mail. Here's another one. Now, this is hilarious because this comes from Benjamin Licker Pendergrass IV.
Ah, the Return of Pendergrass.
The Return of Pendergrass. This is a character.
This is a character?
It's basically a fictional character. He basically became
citation
a character.
Citation needed.
Anyone who listened to the Shatcast when Nick and I were doing that with Chris Failer and occasionally Steve Gibson and Martin Goldstein might remember. I mean, that's probably a small group of who's listening, but yeah. Those of you who
it
did.
It was the shacknews.com podcast from a year or so ago.
That was, we got an email from a guy named Benjamin Pendergrass.
Yes.
And for some reason, we thought his name was so hilarious that we started just referring to him all the time, like in all
wasn't
the
episodes. Well, no, everybody was Pendergrass. Who sent something in was Pendergrass on that podcast.
Yeah. And so I guess.
But this is the real Pendergrass.
This is him. Like, he's back. Now he listens to Idle Thumbs. Yeah. So, he says, he writes, "Dear Idle Thumbs, even though I've been a subscriber of your podcast since episode 2 or 3, I didn't get around to listening to it till episode 6. You see, me and my wife were driving to Niagara Falls for the weekend, and the 10-hour drive gave me a chance to listen."
He told his wife it played Blu-ray movies.
The 10-hour drive gave me a chance to listen to them all back-to-back. The problem is, the majority of the listening was done on Interstate 90 in New York. If you've never had the pleasure of driving I-90, it's very flat, very straight. Well, okay, there you go. Mm. We're very knowledgeable on the Idle Thumbs podcast. It's a very flat, very straight, very boring stretch of highway that will test the willpower of any human. Needless to say, after
driving... It made your podcast horrible.
That's what he's saying.
Oh, shit.
Needless to say, after driving that 300 miles and 5 hours both ways the trip, I've developed a deep-seated hatred for that highway. When I got home, I was excited that I was caught up with all the back episodes of the podcast and could now start listening to the new episodes during my commute to work. But when I started listening to episode 7, I was very irritated for some reason. After I'd finished the episode, I figured out it wasn't the podcast itself or the people that made me irritated, but rather that I created a mental association with your voices to that agonizing experience on I-90. Let my experience serve as a warning to all your listeners who might think listening to a good podcast on a long trip might be a good idea to pass the time. Forever yours, Benjamin Licker Pendergrass IV. It's a sad tale.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
I hate that guy. Man.
Well, now you can say that. It doesn't matter because he already thinks we're
it's like a Clockwork
stupid,
Orange.
Boring assholes. So, fuck you.
So just for that guy's IP address, all downloads from now on will actually just be us talking over the sound of sort of tires running down the pavement.
Yeah.
It's targeted content. So yeah, sorry to hear that.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
That. Mr.
Yeah,
Pendergrass.
There's a really good breakfast place on that road, though.
It's a really good breakfast place.
Man, hot scoop.
They serve up the hot scoops.
Yeah.
All right. Matthew Kumar, who some of you might know because he writes freelance for a number of publications on the internet, writes, "I'm really shooting you a quick email to say I just listened to The Last Idle Thumbs, which is very enjoyable, Winner Is You, etc., and your story about Indiana Jones and the fate of Atlantis struck me deep in my heart because I did the exact same thing." What he's referring to is, really quickly, when I played in Indiana Jones and the Fate of Atlantis with a buddy back in 93 or whenever it came out, we got to the last puzzle in the game and
brute forcing the final puzzle of the Fate of Atlantis.
Solved a horrible number puzzle, like circular radial puzzle by just trying every single combination.
Do you think he did the same thing as you two, where right after he solved it, he walked into the next room and saw the solution?
I think that's what he says. He capitalizes exact same thing. So I'm guessing that's what happened.
Yeah, thing. Also, a winner is you was said, sadly. Yeah.
And then he adds, except I did it completely alone because I didn't have any friends.
These are sad emails.
That's I know. This is the worst reader mail. I mean, they're all great, but this is, I'm sad now.
So he says, high five for being dumbasses when we were 13 or however old, Matthew Kumar.
That's the best, actually.
Yeah. I'm glad someone wrote in and
if you have any stories about how you're the same as Chris, but more sad.
Ouch.
No, whatever.
Yeah.
The number of adventure games I completed alone, wishing that I had friends to hang out with, is high.
Yep.
Yeah.
This would be hilarious if there was someone else in the room to laugh with me.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it was weird. Then I read XKCD for a couple weeks.
What? Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's up with you guys?
Playing Defense Grid.
Oh, yeah. Are you actually playing? Are you actually playing that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it.
So Defense Grid is a $20 tower defense game on Steam.
Yeah. No, yeah. It's actually pretty good.
What's good about it?
You know, like most tower defense games, you get the, you know, when the monsters get to the end of the, you know, fucking path, they you know, you're done, right? But this one.
But in this game.
In this game, they
go backwards when they get to the end. It's like Braid.
They do go backwards. They pick up little orbs and they carry them off in the direction
so
that
there's
they,
a monster who backwards. Picks up an orb.
Well, there's like a, there's an entrance
this
and
is
an
like,
exit.
This is like when we saw that PopCap Games presentation and they're like, it's really important to be innovative in your games. Now, this might look like a ripoff of this game from this other company.
Right. It looks like a regular Match 3.
A gold background.
No, the background would flash gold oh, yeah, when you made a Match 3. Gold. Super innovative. Sorry, I thought you were going to say that it was like when our friend Jared was trying to describe Pikmin to someone else.
Oh, yeah.
You're this spaceman.
You have a spaceship.
God, I can't remember what he's... Anyway,
I don't remember either, but amazing. It started in a hilarious way. Anyway, Nick, Defense Grid.
Yeah, it's good.
It's like tower defense.
Would you pay $20 for it?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Did you
I've been thinking about. I was so seriously thinking about it. Like, no, because I got it for free. So I was thinking about how that sort of plays with your mind a little bit. Because yeah, I was enjoying it, but at the same time, when I paid,
it's easy
$20,
to enjoy a free thing.
It really is.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's I mean, not that hard to enjoy a $20 thing either, though.
No, well, I enjoyed it to
when
the
there
point
are
that
so
I probably,
many really good free tower defense games.
Yeah,
that's true.
It might be hard to enjoy a $20 thing.
Yeah.
That was my concern. There I saw that game demoed at Penny Arcade Expo, and I was extremely skeptical as to whether that was necessary at all.
But Nick likes it.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good version. It's a good version. It's a pretty solid version of Tower Defense. If you're like really into that genre, then...
Well,
I don't know. It's actually, the one other notable thing about it is
I heard
really
of it
like
a story.
Ham-fisted like, story.
Yeah, yeah. A
that
justification
it's just ridiculous.
For why these aliens are marching along.
Oh my
it's a
God.
Monster.
No, they're aliens in that game.
There's, you have like this robot sidekick that is like a portal thing.
Does he,
where he's
does
just
he
like,
crack
every now and then he's like, he's like Zeke, no, and like,
oh, he's a melodramatic sidekick.
Yeah, he's really.
Why
like,
isn't
that
he wacky?
Sucks. Why isn't he wacky?
He's
I want
like,
him to
oh,
be like
no.
Aladdin.
I want my whole side. Race has been destroyed.
And then, what? I'm the most depressing.
This like emo robot.
This is like someone who writes into our podcast. Sorry, I love you guys.
Yeah. But at like the end, you never really find out what happened. That's the worst part.
A robot Eeyore.
He's just like, what? Zeke! You're like, you remind me of Zeke. And then at the end, you never fucking find out, like...
Who Zeke is? Is it like Gears of War style, where it's just like, I remember your trial. And it's just like, oh, I guess I had a trial.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah. It's kind of... It's almost so goofy that it comes back around, but...
Cool. Well...
That's weird.
Yeah.
So that was our bonus round, secret game.
Yeah.
One more thing, I guess, before we go is we're still taking suggestions for the Idle Thumbs Goatee.cx Game of the Year.
Are
so
we?
Why not?
Okay.
I don't know.
Fine.
There's a few more days.
Yeah, send us more Games of the Year. And
yeah, just go to Goatee.cx.
People are doing cool stuff. People are writing in about games that aren't necessarily the ones most people would consider the number one game of the year, but people are writing about sort of games that they liked that they thought just sort of are cool things to mention, even
yeah,
if they weren't
stood out to them
the
for some reason
yeah,
this
so
year.
It doesn't have to be the game you thought was the it doesn't have to be the game you thought was the single best game of the year or anything. People are one guy wrote in, you know, about Mirror's Edge and said he knows that's not going to be a common pick, but
right, and one guy wrote about Smash Brothers.
Yeah, Smash Brothers, and you know, there's been some World of Goo and some good stuff. So yeah, if you guys go to goty.cx.
So these are games that we obviously don't think are game of the year.
Yeah.
Oh, I like all those games.
Yeah, they're all pretty sweet.
No More Heroes, someone wrote in. Space Giraffe, someone wrote in. That'll be interesting to read. That game is now available on PC via Steam, I think.
Yeah. With less,
maybe not Steam.
With less drugs.
It's on PC for sure.
Yeah. Cool. Anyway, that's Idle Thumbs 10.
That was Idle Thumbs 10.
Yes.
A rip rollicking ride.
God. You can edit that out.
I might.
Leave that one.
Wizard. The Wizard. The Wizard.
It's December. What the fuck?
I didn't want to laugh into the thing in case you were actually going to record something.
I just looked up
projecting
and you're going,
the laugh.
Like your mouth looked like the box on the cover of like Final Doom. You know how there's like those melting skulls? You were just like,
sweet.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Anyway,
yeah, anyway, it's December. Can we just use my other one?
No.